This is Resonance 104.4 FM, flipping marvellous, of course. I'm Nick Hennigan, and welcome to another slice of Literary London. Also, of course, we're live on bohemianbritain.com. And it is my great pleasure to introduce someone who actually I can call a friend now, because we met through the glories of theatre. Angela Ball, hello. How are
hello,
you?
Hello, Nick. Hello.
And if you're listening in stereo, you can obviously see us. Yes, because we're recording this live for bohemianbritain.com. It'll also be on various YouTube channels and anywhere you get your podcast, I think is what you're supposed to say now. So how are you, Angie?
I'm really well, thanks, darling. How are you?
Cool. It's nice to see you as well. Tell us, so you're performing in London at the Tavern Theatre at Bath Road in Chiswick W4, a play called Appraisal, which we've already heard about because, of course, your co-actor, the writer and director Tim Marriott, he of the British Empire. I didn't mention it enough when I was talking to him, really, the British
Empire. Like that way.
Yeah, I know, it's a good one, isn't it?
It is brilliant.
So tell us a bit about the play first, and then how's it all going?
So it is a work appraisal, many people in the universe understand and dread, I think. And it's a work appraisal that goes wrong. He has one idea and agenda, and he's appraising my character, and she is not having any of it, basically. There's a proper power play of wits and all sorts of nonsense that just relays in a very cheeky twist and not quite ends up the way that he's expected it at the start of the show.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, comparisons have been made with Educating Rita and Oleana, and I suppose there are elements of all that in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a great story as well, though, because it's so relatable. It's just, I mean, I'm saying this as if I've had many appraisals in the muggle jobs that I've had outside of acting. And actually, I've been fortunate I haven't. So, because if I had to go through what I go through every night on the stage, even be it annually, it must be the worst feeling to think that you're going to walk into that once a year. There's a tick box exercise, and they'll probably change all the stats because the Board of Trustees need to see one thing and they're being presented with another. I mean, it just beggars belief, really.
Yeah, Tim was saying that he actually, when he took his 17 years out of acting and was a teacher and worked in the proper world, as we like to call it, he said, I think I did a few appraisals and I may well have slipped into the stereotypical kind of thing. I mean, it struck me, because I mean, I actually saw the very first one that you did, which was in a container.
You did, up in Edinburgh in 2022.
Wow, was it? And it was great. And I've never had an appraisal in my life. I have been a failure. My mother's still very disappointed. But I could completely get it, though. I mean, what worked quite cleverly is you don't need to have a sort of a business head to appreciate what's happening between these two people. And in a sense, I suppose, you know, the whole Me Too thing and, you know, presenting strong women, there are all sorts of elements that come into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, but like I said, it's a slice of life, of which, you know, all good theatre is, all good storytelling is, like, across the board. And it is nice to see, you know, the and I might be biased being female, but it's great to see that the female is standing her ground and she's not suffering fools lightly. And, you know, she's just going to put up a fight for what she believes and not be bowled over, really, I suppose.
Yeah, she doesn't go along with it. Yeah, no, it's great. And you've had a great time, haven't you? You just got back from Australia, was it? Where have you been?
Well, I didn't go to Australia. I had to previous engagements that I had to forego that. But Tim went with great success. And he took it there last year as well, where it won best play at the Fringe. And I would have loved to have gone, maybe next time.
Tim was saying, because I was saying, how did it come around? He said, because I, when I first saw it, Tim wasn't acting in it. It was the lovely Nicholas Collett. I was saying to Tim, I said, so what? How, why did the actors change, if you don't mind me asking? He went, Tim just got a better job. He said, when he said, that's the problem with working with really good actors. They go off and do other jobs all the time. So.
Well, also, I mean, that's lovely of you to say. We all will always want more. But also, you know, with theatre, it's telly tends to come up quite, or can come up quite last minute. You know, you'll have an audition and it's filming in 2, 3 weeks' time. But theatre, because of it being, it could be anything from a 3 week to a 12 week run, for somebody to take that time out of their life, it needs to be in advance, you know. So even though, you know, you don't know that a play is necessarily going to be a hit the way this has been in Edinburgh, and then invited back a second year, and by that point you've already got irons in the fire for other productions that, you know, that Nick was working with himself and writing himself and producing, and already got a team involved. So, you know, when we get the phone call saying that was brilliant, it was sell out and award winning, will you come back? And we're like, yeah, oh, sorry, I'm kind of busy, which is brilliant, absolutely. But then, you know,
Yeah, I get it. I mean, if you're watching this rather than listening to us on Resonance 104.4 FM, you'll see behind me there's a big poster that says Henry V, Lion of England. And it's an adaptation of Shakespeare's Henry V that I did. I wrote in 1992. Blimey, how long ago? Anyway, 30 years ago. Anyway, what about? And we actually, it ended up performing at Stratford-upon-Avon for a season. And exactly that
right.
happened. So Michael Shaw, the lovely actor that was in it, who hadn't had an audition for nearly 6 months, we turn up in Stratford. He gets three in the first 2 weeks. It's kind of, I suppose, actor's life. I mean, I guess that's what you have to put up with, is it?
Well, it's also getting the exposure, you know, theatre casting directors and directors, they're in their world, they're busy, they're working. And if you've got TV, you can do a showreel, but you can't do that. It's not accepted because with theatre, unless you get the full works and the full screen and like National Theatre Live, and otherwise it can just look like a school play, which isn't going to help anybody. So if you're out of town in somewhere like Stratford, and then you've got that wealth of industry that can visit you and see, and then see how brilliant you are and go, oh, actually, you fit the bill. Would you like to come along? And who's going to say no to anything like that? So unfortunate for you, for your Henry V, but you launched somebody else's career into something else.
He did do the whole contract, fortunately, so that was all right. Yeah,
Oh, that's good.
it worked out quite well for our opening night. Anyway, that was another story. Our opening night was quite good fun. So, and I mean, I suppose, let's talk about Edinburgh specifically, but also about you. So, what got? Because I obviously know. I say what I consider us. We're friends, really. Now we met at the Edinburgh
We're
Festival,
buddies. We are.
and of course, the other great quality that you have is you're from Birmingham originally, ain't you, Bab?
Oh, yes, kid. Oh, yeah. From
Oh,
Birmingham. Packet of chosen onion crisps and all of that.
well,
Are you?
it's suddenly very trendy with what Stephen Knight's doing. I mean, after
Very.
the Peaky Blinders and this new thing, which I've not seen yet, called Our Town.
Yeah.
I did work in Aston in Birmingham, an inner city, but and years ago, someone was telling me about a bloke that ran a pub telling me about the Peaky Blinders, but it wasn't very complimentary. But that's another story. So, what got you into what met, were your parents involved in the arts or acting? What got you going?
So they loved live theatre. My mom did a lot of Amdram stuff and then did audition for Drama College but was unable to go in the end. Ironic, well, I don't know whether ironic is the right word, but anyway, my dad used to go to loads of theatre, and he saw her in a play that was happening in Aston, I think, around like 3 years before they actually met. And I've still got the programme, which I'm like, oh.
Oh, fantastic. What a great story.
I
Yeah.
know.
Sorry.
So
Yeah.
they've always loved theatre. Dad loved music and jazz, and visited London, you know, several times through the year to see various things. Always brought me along. So it was just always instilled to just that live entertainment, the just being there and, you know, the smell of the grease paint and all of that kind of thing. And just they were super supportive. And I went to see, when I was seven, I had the first, it was my first choice of what theatre show we could go and see. And the choice was The King and I with Yul Brynner or the original Jesus Christ Superstar at the Palace. And I chose Jesus Christ Superstar and I walked out of that going, I want to do that. Can I do that? Can I please? And so it grew from there, really. They just really supported everything that I did. They loved it as well. Dad was kind of thrilled when I moved to London, just because that's just the city of dreams, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so, sorry, New York, but yeah, London is, of course, the
Yeah,
theatre
sorry, New
of the
York.
world, and of course, I know. Yeah, it's sort of it's has to happen, really. So, whereabouts in Birmingham were you brought up?
Well, born and bred in Sutton Coldfield, really. We did Sutton. Did you hear that come out there? Did Sutton Coldfield, really?
But
Yeah.
it's a royal town. Don't forget the royal town of
It
Sutton.
is the royal town. Mom and dad were publicans, so moved around an awful lot, really, from pub to pub. Kits Green, where obviously at the Macadown, where we had that conversation about my parents having a dog that was on the roof, as you do.
We saw years and
To
years ago before when
yeah, before we
yeah.
even met.
Good pubs always had dogs on roofs, I seem to remember. But yes, the Macadown's a legendary pub in the Midlands, or it certainly was anyway in Birmingham.
Was, yeah.
And you were there.
Yes. And then left, got into drama college at the age of 17 and moved down to London, and we've been in London ever since, really.
Which drama school did you go to, if you don't
I
mind?
went to ALRA, the Academy of Live and Recorded Arts in Wandsworth, the most magnificent Gothic building, the Royal Victorian Patriotic building, just this Gothic palace basically in Wandsworth Common. It's sadly, the college isn't there anymore, as a college, the building is, but just a fantastic hub of creativity. And it's got private apartments and had the drama college at the time. And the band Thompson Twins, they lived there and had their recording studio there. So, and one of the fellas from Duran Duran lived in another corner. And so there's a wine bar in there as well, which is still there, Le Gothique, which I think, if any of us are really honest, that's the only reason we accepted that drama college, because why would you not go somewhere where there's a wine bar in the venue? And so it was just these fantastic people around these, completely bewildered teenagers all wanting to pretend that they were in fame, skipping around courtyards. And we didn't do the leg warmers and things like that, but we did skip around courtyards.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the leg warmers. I mean, it's kind of important, isn't it? I mean, one of the because as you know, or if you might not know, but I was involved in starting Fringe Theatre in Birmingham again as a result of this play I wrote that went to Edinburgh. And one of the things that struck me as lacking, and it's not just a Birmingham problem, I think it's probably anywhere other than London, was that kind of community of people who are not even if not actually supportive but in the same boat. And I found that to be something when I first came to London sort of full-time, actually as a residential social worker, but that's a boring story. When I first came full-time to do the theatre, that was what, and I won a place to do a master's in producing. That was what I got most out of, if that makes sense. It was the fact that there were other people around. And it can be quite a solitary thing. So how did it work for you then, leaving drama school? And did you think, right, I want to be a movie star, or is it just the actor thing of I want to take whatever I can? What
At
was your
that
plan?
point, yeah, I think at that point, I've always loved theatre. There's just something so vibrant, obviously, because if you mess up on screen, it's cut and and start again. If you mess up on stage, you've just got to turn up stage and glare at another actor going, help me, or then just hope somebody comes in and does. You've just got to roll with it and just carry on regardless. So there's always that thrill. And I mean, I've been doing appraisal now for 3 years. This is the third incarnation of it. And not that we forget our lines, but there's an ease that comes with it, the banter, a natural banter, like a natural conversation as it's lifted off the page and just becomes like a conversation instead of a script. And so there is that ease of that with stage, which I just prefer. So it was always theatre. It took a while to get into telly. I wasn't that lucky, but that's grown over the years. And just as you, the more obviously, the more you do, the more you're seen, the better showreel you can create, the cheekier you become because you're getting a bit old in the tooth, so you don't mind just knocking on a door and going, "Hi, here's another showreel," or "Here's new headshots," because you do have to be proactive. You can't just rely that I've got a great agent and that's it, because they've got, you know, other people to look after. And also personally, I think if you're proactive in your own mind, if nothing happens, you haven't got anybody to blame but yourself. You feel that you're being proactive and moving forward and keeping busy, even though you might not have anything in the pipeline at that point.
That's very interesting. It's I suppose it's the business of show business,
Yes,
and
yeah, because what you see in a work period is such a tiny fraction of the rest of the year, you know, when you could work. It looks like you're busy because you've filmed something and that's not coming out for another 6 months and you publicize that, and but then you're in rehearsal. But when you look back on the year, you might have only done three jobs. And even though one of those took up 3 months because it was stage, the other two were in total probably a week's filming. So then you've got the rest of the year where you are trying to find work and auditioning and auditioning and auditioning and praying that somebody thinks, "Yeah, you're the one. Oh, here's the job."
Brilliant. So I'm talking to Angela Ball, actor Angela Ball, who's performing in a play called Appraisal, which is at the Tabard Theatre in Bath Road. She's at W4. I'm Nick Hennigan. This is Literary London on Resonance 104.4 FM. And you can see us in glorious Technicolor, well, it's not really, but anyway, but on bohemianbritain.com. And in fact, I'm going to make that a series, Bohemian Britons, because I've got one or two, including Angela, Bohemian Britons that I've been chatting to. So we're actually going to farm that off as a little separate series. As always, if you'd like to get in touch, if there's anything you're doing, then drop me email is probably the easiest, in that the Resonance FM studios are currently being redone again. As you can see, if you're watching us on bohemianbritain.com, I'm in our glorious world corporate headquarters. Yes, the dining room's down there. Well, the coffee kettle. Anyway, I won't go on
Don't
about
tell everybody the secrets, Nick. Don't tell
it.
everybody the secrets.
No, I don't. Can't give it away.
No, don't.
So yeah. Radio at mavericktheatre.co.uk, or I've now got my own email, Nick at bohemianbritain.com. Get me, Nick
Get
at
you.
bohemianbritain.com, or radio at mavericktheatre.co.uk. And hello to Kath from California, who's been in touch again. She said, yes, I am still listening by the beach. Kath listens every week in California, always apparently by the beach, never around.
Always on the beach.
Yeah, always, always. And I've no, she did send me a photograph a few years ago, so I have no reason to disbelieve her.
Oh.
So we're talking to actor Angie Ball, and of course I forgot you were in Coronation Street as well, of course, weren't you?
I was recently. Yeah, it was amazing. It was I was really lucky because of the storyline was really quite powerful. Well, not quite powerful, incredibly powerful, and won several awards, you know, won scene of the year and a storyline of the year. And so it was really quite special to be involved in that. So yeah, it was a great team. I mean, iconic. Just, I've never felt so intimidated walking on a set in my life after 30 years. Seriously, it was, but they were all so welcoming. You know, Ryan and Alison, who I was working with, were superb. And Leon, the director, there was it was just a great job. It was a great gig. I loved that.
Yeah, I mean, it is iconic, isn't it? Coronation. I have to say, I've never seen, I can't believe I've never, I don't know why. Anyway, but I aspire to write for television as well, by the way. That's how good I am. But no, and the Rovers Return and the street set, and yeah, it must be incredible to do
It
that. It's
is. You walk into the parking lot after you've got through security, and obviously the back of this, because it's, as we all know, it's actually bricks and mortar. It's built. And then you walk in, you're cut behind the all the houses, the pub and everything, the Rovers, But there's just this where the park is, the Victoria Park, I think it is, and it somebody's going to correct me on that, and I apologise. But there's this little alleyway that comes out into the car park, fundamentally, which is the cobbles, and you just can't help but skip over and just put your toe on the cobbles and go, "Oh my God, I'm on the cobbles! This is remarkable." So it was great fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. I had a look around. I think they've moved since when I had a look around. It was an actor that I worked with who had a I love you, Deirdre. He's a nice chap. So I mean, so new actors. What would you say to yourself starting off? Is there anything that you, I mean, it's not that you're old now, but you've had a few years of experience.
What would I say to myself then? So a very dear family friend was an actor, and he said he was incredibly generous, and he always said, use my name, and ask permission, obviously, but use the people you know. Don't abuse them, but get yourself known. And if you have somebody that can help, don't be shy to not ask for advice or to just give you a helping hand. Because I didn't with Terry, and I regularly kick myself now. So I wish that I had taken his advice with that a little bit more. Go and see as much as you can, be involved, make notes of the plays that you like to understand the casting directors, because the casting directors are the gatekeepers, basically. So there's no point me writing off to, if you don't want to do musical theatre, that you're writing off to somebody that specialises in that. So understand, don't waste your time. It's not just their time that you think may be wasted, which it isn't, but be specific where you want to go as well, and just enjoy the journey, because it's over too soon and you don't work as much as you, well, the majority of us don't work as much as we would like. So when you do, just enjoy it and grab it and, ride the wave, really, I think.
Yeah, again, it's that, I guess it's that notion of, as a creative person or as an actor, then as any creative, you have to appreciate that it is a business, though.
Yeah. And being self-employed as well, it is totally up to you. You've got to understand your tax, you've got to understand how to, manage your money. So many friends of mine have had a fantastic, well, not so many, but I know many people that have had great jobs on soaps, on regular tellies. And you can quite easily get into a rut that this is going to last forever, And it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So if you have those opportunities, and I'm going to sound like my nan now, but in all seriousness, try and put something aside. Try and get a down payment for a flat in this age, or go on that amazing holiday. Make memories, but also look after yourself. Future-proof yourself if you can, because it is very can be very fleeting. It can be a very fleeting industry.
It
So
strikes me as well, and would you agree, is that although it is a really tough business, I some of the nicest people in the world I've come across through the business. I mean, like you were saying, I've done a version of Hamlet, and Sir Derek Jacobi, the actor Derek Jacobi, he did the voice for me years ago. And every time I say to him, "Look, we're going to do it again," he's like, "Of course you can. And how much would you want?" No, doesn't matter. So someone at that level, I suppose, is it's glorious that he does that. And of course, Edinburgh, I mean, because you moved into producing as well, haven't you, with Epsilon? I've said that right.
Epsilon.
Epsilon.
I started Epsilon in 2006, to be fair. So we've been going a while, and I've taken some time out. I moved out of London 7 years ago down to Devon, and remarkably, the acting just flew. And so that hasn't been as big a part of my life. And I fundamentally just started it to because I was fed up of waiting for the phone to ring. It's not a deal breaker that I'm involved in the productions, But that's why it started. And I think a lot of actors, actresses that set up their own production company will be doing it for that reason. Obviously you want to involve as many people. I've never done a one-woman show. It's not all about me. It is about finding the talent, finding the skill, passing it on, basically. It is that, just if you've got a platform to be able to use to bring somebody in fresh out of drama college, or use somebody who is recommended because they're brilliant, but they haven't had a job for a while. And like I say, not shoehorning them in. If they don't fit, if they're not right, then that's fine. But they're, for want of a better word, benched, and they're always brought in for another audition. And I've used people on in several productions on stage and off. So it's a great little hub that you build, and it also, as an actress, it gives you the permission to ask questions as well, that you know, this is I want so and so to have a chat, or like this, for example. But they're not going to list Angela Bull. Who's Angela Bull? But an award-winning production company might throw a bit more weight and open a door. So we started it thinking, well, how hard could it be? Wow. A little bit tricky, but great fun. Great fun.
What's next for you then, Ange? What are you up to next? So this is obviously running in London. Have you got any more
Yes,
plans?
I've got a couple of tellies coming up. I've got on the new series of Royal Autopsy has just started. I think my episode is on the 29th of April. It is taking a slice of, it's like a d drama documentary on Sky History that is looking at the into the deaths of our monarchs. So in the first series, I was working with Queen Elizabeth the First. I was her right-hand lady. And this series, it's Queen Anne. And we've got Dr. Alice Roberts, who is doing the pathology and the modern day science and looking into ri the written memoirs of their courtiers and, what actually killed them. So that's pretty amazing. And you get to dress up in amazing dresses, which any little girl is never. I might be 53, but I'm still a little girl when it comes to a dress and a wig. And then D.I. Ray is coming out season two, so I'm featuring that as well. And then working at Park Theatre in June and July with Guy Masterson and Park Theatre in The Barony Conspiracy, which is where we first met in Edinburgh again.
Yeah, again. Are you doing Edinburgh this year?
No, because Marilyn doesn't finish until the 27th of July. And so just to be away from home for 9 weeks, which I will be with the rehearsal period and 4 months, I think I just need to go and
It's a slog,
sit in
isn't
a
it?
field in Devon for a while longer and
Oh,
just
yeah. What
breathe.
we do on that? That sounds fantastic as well. And can we find out any more? Have you got a personal website or has Epsilon got a website?
Yeah, it's epsilonproductions.co.uk. And my personal one is angelable.co.uk again, all over Instagram and Twitter and all the socials, just under Epsilon Productions and Angelable.
And I'll
So
put some links if you're watching us on BohemianBritain.com. I'll put some links in the bit below, I think you call it. We've run out of time. Thank you so much, Angela. Crikey, that
thank
went
you.
quickly, didn't it? So if you'd like to
It
see Angela, she's performing at the Tabard Theatre, Bath Row, Chiswick W4. Again, I'll put the links on BohemianBritain.com. But that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for your company. I'm Nick Hennigan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angie. This is what is it? Literary London, yeah, on Resonance 104.4 FM.